Starting at verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and take this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled in the meantime of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, for ever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
And now I'd like to invite Peter, who's going to come and open up that wonderful reading to us. Let us just pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the words and wisdom that you have poured into Peter as he has prepared these words for us. And we pray that you will continue to inspire both him and us as we hear your word opened up for us. Amen.
That was a reading from the middle of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And I don't know whether you thought it was a curious place to start the reading. Those first three words. For this reason, if you like, and that's why. What do you mean, and that's why? That's why what? Well, we did pick it up at verse 14, which is the middle of a chapter. So perhaps if we go back to the beginning of the chapter, Paul will tell us what it's all about. Unfortunately, the first three words of chapter 3 say, for this reason. So I went back a bit further. And you get back into chapter 1. And you find in the middle of chapter 1, Paul says, for this reason, and that's why. In fact, Paul uses that phrase, for this reason, something like 12 times in his various letters, and four of them come in Ephesians. If he doesn't do that, he builds up his logical argument and says, therefore, it follows that. He uses therefore something like 76 times. I just thought you'd like to know that. And seven of them come in Ephesians. So Paul is all for building up these logical arguments. Unfortunately, some of them are really quite difficult arguments to follow. And finding out what he's really on about, you actually need a degree in theology, which I haven't got, which is all a bit tricky. When you read, therefore, you've probably heard people say, when you're reading Paul's letters and you read, therefore, you need to look at it carefully to see what it's there for. Anyway, here is my layman's condensed understanding of what Paul's reasoning, logical argument, build-up is as he writes to the Christians in Ephesus. He starts off in chapter 1 and says, you have been brought into God's family. And there is something that applies to you and to me, to each one of us. We have been brought into God's family. And for Paul, that must have been an amazing thing to write, because he was a Jew. He was brought up as a Pharisee. He had been taught from the day he first began to crawl across the floor as a baby that the Jews were special people, the Jews were God's people, and that the rest of us were outsiders. The rest of us were not part of God's plan at all, just taking up unnecessary space in the world. And then God showed him that actually even the outsiders are to be drawn into God's family through Jesus. And that must have been a real mind-blowing point for Paul. And yet that's what he said. And so he wrote to them and said, "You were brought into God's family, and for this reason, and that's why, I pray for you, and I pray for you to grow in faith." Then he goes on in chapter 2 and he expands on this. And he says, actually, it's all by grace. It's not because you've done anything special to please God. It's not because you are special in God's eyes any more than other people. It's all not about you and whether you're a good person. It's all about God giving it to you. God gives you this gift of grace. And that's what I'm praying for. You were outsiders. You were of... But because of Jesus, you've been brought in. And it's all because of God and not because of you. And he says, because of this, for this reason, at the beginning of chapter 3, because of all this, for this reason, I preach and make God known to you who were outside but are now drawn into the family. And he sums it all up at the beginning of our lesson today, the bit that we read. He sums it all up and says, and that's why I pray for you in this way. I pray for you, the people in Ephesus, who were the outsiders, now drawn into God's family. And when he says you in this passage, in Greek he's using the plural. He's not talking just to individuals, but to all of them as a group. And he speaks to you and I as a group, as part of God's family in Malvern, and says, and this is what I pray for you. And it's what we need to be praying for one another, for the other churches in Malvern, for our Christian brothers and sisters around this area and across the country. And the first thing to note is the things he doesn't pray for. He doesn't pray that they have a good harvest and get plenty of food. He doesn't pray that they can ply their trade and make lots of money. He doesn't pray that there may be an absence of war and lots of peace. He doesn't pray that their ambitions may be fulfilled in a worldly sense. The first thing he prays for is that they may have... Wrong way. Got it. They may have strength. The first thing is that they may have strength. Not political strength. Not military strength or economic power or even bigger muscles. But he's praying that they may have a spiritual strength, a spiritual power which comes from walking more closely with Jesus. And we can pray for one another and say, Lord, help my friends, help the family of this church to grow in strength and walk more closely with you. If you were here at Deeper for the evening service earlier this month, you heard Peter Myers speaking and encouraging us to discover who we are in Christ and recognize the original design that God has for me and for each one of you, for each one of us. God has a special blueprint. And he has a blueprint for us as a church. And as we reflected on that, we said, yes, I want to be who God wants me to be. You may have heard me in previous sermons say the same thing in different words, that God wants us to be the people he always meant us to be before we ourselves, other people and circumstances messed things up. God wants us to be the people he always meant us to be before we ourselves, other people and circumstances messed things up. So as we pray for all saints and pray for each other and other churches, first, let's pray that we embrace all that God has for us as recipients of his promises, his authority and his power. Let's pray for strength to walk more closely with Jesus Christ. And to achieve that, Paul says, I want you to have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to live inside you. Gosh. But if we're walking with Jesus and the Holy Spirit is indwelling within us, then we will have all God's power and authority to do all the things that he always meant us to do, to fulfill the particular tasks that he has set before us. And there are particular tasks that God would like me to do, would like each one of you to do. It may be as simple as smiling at the postman tomorrow morning, but if that's the task God has given to you, smile at the postman. It might be, who knows, but whatever you're doing this week, there will be tasks that God wants you in particular to do. Just do them. Because God has planned for you to complete those things. Satan will no doubt tell you, oh, that's somebody else's task. Oh, you're not up to that. Oh, you can't possibly do that. The indwelling Holy Spirit within us says, yes, I can. Not because of me, not because I'm special, but because of God and the Holy Spirit indwelling inside me, I can do it. Just remember that. You can do it in Jesus' name. So, Satan is a beaten enemy. Just go from here believing that and telling Satan, he's beaten, I've got the Holy Spirit indwelling, it's going to be okay, I can do the things God wants me to do. And then Paul goes on and says, get a vision. Get a vision for how long and broad and wide and deep and high. And at that point the Greek stops. He does not tell us what it is that's got to be so broad and long and deep and high. The translators who put together our version of the Bible and the one we were reading from this morning and the one that's around the church is the New International Version, and the people, the translators who put that together, and indeed those who put together many other English translations, added the word, how long and broad and deep and high is the love of Christ. That's not there in the original Greek. People have said, well, Paul has been talking about the love of Christ, and that's clearly what he's referring to here. So it's a reasonable thing to put it in. But perhaps that verse of all is just a reminder to all of us that whatever version we're reading, we are reading somebody's interpretation of what the original writer meant. In this case, I think, yeah, that's a good interpretation. That works well. But it does mean that we need to thank God for the people who originally translated the Bible into a language that we can understand. Thank God that they were so inspired by the Holy Spirit indwelling, that they were able to get the right message across and preserve the meaning of the original. And pray for those who are translating the Bible even today into languages that do not have a Bible to read in their own language. Pray that those translators may have the same inspiration that the original writers had to get a good and accurate translation. Sorry, that was a bit of an aside, but I just thought it was worth pointing that out to you. So, this thing that is so wide and broad and deep and high is the love of Christ. The love of Christ is beyond our imagining. It is bigger than we can think it is. It is never going to leave us. It is always going to be with us. And even when we mess up, God's love is still there for us. Hang on to that. And finally, Paul talks about knowledge. And he prays that they may have knowledge. Not that they may get a maths degree or a science degree or even a theology degree. He prays that they may understand the spiritual dimension, that they may know that there's more to this world than just the physical things we see around us. Have a knowledge of God. Have a knowledge of the spiritual things. Have a knowledge of what it is to walk with Jesus, to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit and with God Himself. Pray that we can see God at work in our church, in our town, and where we see God at work, let's join in with Him. And it was only after I'd written that I thought, oh, that's interesting, because if you look at those words and straighten them up a bit, you find I've got an acrostic with silk down the left-hand side. And I got the whole thing done, and then I realised that. And I thought, actually, that's quite interesting, because what is silk? It is simply the threads from the cocoon of a caterpillar. Small threads, fine threads, just something that a caterpillar produces. And yet, silk is so fine that we can use it to make posh clothes. And silk is so strong that we use it for parachutes and bicycle tyres. I haven't got a picture of bicycle tyres, but it's strong enough for that. And if that's not enough, silk also has medicinal purposes. You may not have known that, but it does. And that's why they use it to make things like prosthetic arteries. I could have got you a picture with lots of blood and gore, but I thought, no, I'll stick to the clean picture. And I thought, isn't that amazing that something that's just produced by a caterpillar has all those properties? And so, as we pray for one another, let's just pray that we are used to do the things God has always wanted us to do, that we may follow the blueprint that He has for our lives. And of course, we're praying to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power. His power, which is at work in you and me. What an amazing thing. So, to God be glory, and may we be used to do the things that He has always intended us to do. Amen.